the shades of night are falling, comes a fellow everyone knows. It's the old dope peddler, spreading joy wherever he goes. Every evening you will find him around our neighborhood. It's the old dope peddler, doing well by doing good. He gives the kids free samples because he knows full well that today's young innocent faces will be tomorrow's clientele. Here's a cure for all your troubles. Here's an end to all distress. It's the old dope peddler with his powdered happiness.
Hello, and thank you for listening to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. We start off today's program with, should we legalize drugs? Would the United States be better off legalizing all recreational drugs? A panel of experts tackle that question in an Oxford-style debate. And then after that, the future of energy. The world continues to face critical energy challenges with political change happening in many parts of the world. What can the world expect?
We call it a war, and for 41 years we have been fighting it, a war on drugs. The estimated cost so far, about $2.5 trillion. The results so far, mixed. So what does it say that voters in Colorado and Washington State recently went to the ballot box and decided to legalize one of the drugs we've been fighting all of these years, weed, pot, marijuana? What is that? Is it treason, or is it a facing up to a certain social reality? Those are a lot of questions, but they all boil down to the one that we're going to be debating here tonight, and here it is. Yes or no to this statement, legalize drugs. That is the motion on the table. A debate from Intelligence Squared US. I'm John Donvan. We have four superbly qualified debaters who will be arguing for and against it, legalize drugs. We go in three rounds, then the audience votes to choose the winner, and only one side wins. Meeting our debaters, on the side arguing for the motion, legalize drugs, Paul Butler, professor of law at Georgetown and former federal prosecutor. After Harvard Law, you clerked for a judge, you worked in corporate law, you then became a federal prosecutor and worked with the Department of Justice, but then something happened that made you give it all up, and it changed the way you thought about the criminal justice system. What was it?
So somebody forgot to tell the police about all those credentials, and I got arrested for a crime I didn't commit. It was when I had the most high-profile case as a prosecutor. I was prosecuting a U.S. senator, and I got locked up. You can read all about it in the first chapter of my book, Let's Get Free, A Hip-Hop Theory of Justice.
Commercials allowed. And your partner is?
My partner is Nick Gillespie.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Gillespie. Nick, you are editor-in-chief of the Libertarian Reason.com and Reason TV.
I am guilty.
You have talked about the fact that you have used both legal and illegal drugs recreationally. Interestingly, you once lived on a street called Stoner Avenue. But what is your take seriously on recreational drug use? Is there a danger involved in them?
I'd say the only danger is that oftentimes you run out.
Our motion, legalize drugs, and the team arguing against the motion. First, ladies and gentlemen, Theodore Dalrymple. Theodore Dalrymple is your pen name. We'll say this just once. Your real name is Anthony Daniels, for people who like the specificity. But you are a writer, a former prison doctor. In prison, you specialized in cases involving drug offenders, and you came away from that experience thinking that we have the relationship between crime and drugs wrong. In what way, Theodore?
I don't believe in the causative relationship between drugs and crime and bad behavior, actually. But it's always tempting for people to ascribe human misbehavior to an external factor when actually it's internal.
And your partner is?
Asa Hutchinson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Asa Hutchinson. Asa Hutchinson, you are a former administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration. You were also a long-term member of Congress. You had served two terms. You had just been elected for the third time when President Bush tapped you to go to the DEA. Why did you make the choice to do that?
How do you say no to the president when he asks you to do something? You try to say yes, jokingly, but seriously, what a great agency. And I wanted to bring not just enforcement efforts to DEA, but also demand reduction efforts and cooperation with the rehabilitation community.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our four debaters. So on to round one. Opening statements from each debater in turn. Our motion is legalize drugs. And here to speak first for the motion, Paul Butler. He is a professor of law at Georgetown, a former federal prosecutor, and one of the nation's most frequently consulted scholars on race and criminal justice. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Butler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Butler, and I represent the people. When I was a prosecutor, that's how I would start my opening statements. I put a lot of people in prison. I was a soldier in the war on drugs, and tonight I'm going to give you a soldier's perspective on why that war is a colossal failure. As a prosecutor, I learned that as many people as I locked up, we weren't making a dent in the drug trade. We were actually making neighborhoods less safe. I was prosecuting a lot of 19 and 20-year-olds for nonviolent drug offenses. Locking up these young people with a bunch of hardcore rapists and murderers was like sending them to finishing school for criminals. If we legalize drugs, we will stop the counterproductive practice of treating kids the same way that we treat violent criminals, and we would all be safer. The United States locks up more people than any country in the history of the world. We have 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's prisoners. It costs us billions of dollars that we just cannot afford, and it's just as easy to get drugs now as it always has been. What about drug addicts? We know that treatment is a more effective solution than punishment for those people. Most of us are lucky. We don't have a crackhead or a meth addict in our family, but everybody's got an alcoholic in the family. But is the answer to make using alcohol a crime? Of course not. We tried that during Prohibition, and it just did not work. All we did was create this illegal, violent market for liquor, just like for other drugs now, and we didn't stop anybody who wanted to from drinking, just like we don't stop anybody now from using drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of hypocrisy in the war on drugs, but I want to respect you enough to keep it real. Like most Americans, I have used illegal drugs. I wasn't introduced to them at my all-black public elementary school in Chicago, and at my Catholic high school, a lot more kids drank than smoked weed. The first time I was around a lot of people who used drugs was actually at Yale, where I went to college, and then at Harvard, where I went to law school. I'm glad I never got caught when I smoked pot. And I'm also glad that Barack Obama was not arrested and prosecuted for any of the times that he used cocaine and marijuana. So my final point, ladies and gentlemen, we call it a war on drugs, but it's mainly a war on black people. They are the people who get stopped and frisked. Last year in New York City, 50,000 people got arrested for marijuana possession. 50,000. Almost 90% were black or Latino. That's not who really uses drugs. The National Institute of Health tells us that black people don't use drugs more than any other group. They're about 12% of drug users. But who gets locked up for drug crimes? Almost two-thirds are black. 12% of people who do the crime, 60% of people who do the time. And that selective prosecution, and it's devastated the African-American community. And that just seems profoundly unfair. My friends, as a civilized society, we shouldn't punish people for being sick. We shouldn't put anybody in a cage based on what they put in their mouths. There's a better way. It's to legalize drugs.
Thank you, Paul Butler. Our motion is legalize drugs, and now here to speak against the motion, Asa Hutchinson. He is the CEO of the Hutchinson Group and a former congressman. He has served as administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration and as the first undersecretary for the Department of Homeland Security. Ladies and gentlemen, Asa Hutchinson.
Thank you. What an exciting evening to debate an important subject for our country and for our future. Paul, great job in your opening remarks. An African American who also happens to be in a leadership position in the United States attended the Summit of the Americas in Colombia, South America. He said it is okay for us to debate the pros and cons of the war on drugs. But, quote, I personally and my administration position is that legalization is not the answer, end quote. That was President Barack Obama. I happen to agree with President Barack Obama. I agree that there are changes that need to be made as we look at how we enforce our laws. I agree that we need to have a robust debate about incarceration policies and what we are doing in our fight against illegal drugs and how much we're devoting to rehabilitation. All of those issues are appropriate to be on the table. So why did the president take the position that legalization is not the answer? Perhaps he understood the success that we have achieved whenever we look at the fact that drug use has been cut in half over the last 30 years in our country. Did he want to preside? And I know people, I see some skeptical looks when I say that. That is in your program. That is part of the debate topic and the acknowledgement that over the last 30 years, drug use has been cut in half in our country, and we have a president that says he does not want to see it go up on his watch. And so the president made that decision, both personally, he said, and with his administration. Let's look at the argument that's been presented. They say the current model of prohibition is not working. While that might appeal to the popular culture, it does not pass muster and close examination. In fact, drug usage is down over the last 30 years. Whenever you look at our war on poverty that President Lyndon Johnson proclaimed, 35 years ago? Whenever he proclaimed that, have we eliminated poverty today? Does that mean because we have not eliminated poverty that we should stop fighting hunger? Of course not. Well, we call it a war on drugs, which is not my preferred terminology. I believe it is an effort to save lives. It is our youth, it is our families, it is our communities at stake. How do you decrease harmful drugs in our community? Is it by legalization or is it by our present method of saying, let's improve the system, let's make it better, but let's don't throw it out and say we're going to just turn off the spigot and make everything legal? Secondly, they talk about harm. If you believe that addictive and mind-altering drugs, such as heroin, methamphetamine, and cocaine, are harmful, if you believe that they are harmful, then ask this question. If you legalize, will it increase or decrease the use and the availability of harmful drugs? And if you increase drug usage, will it increase drug addiction? Harmful reaction to it. They cannot show, and I believe the burden is on them, they cannot show that logically and over history that if you decriminalize, if you legalize harmful drugs, that usage is going to go down. That has not been the experience in the Netherlands. It's not been the experience in the United Kingdom. It's not been the experience in Alaska. It has not been the experience in Canada. Usage has gone up.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
I'm John Dondack, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared US. The motion is, the war is over. It is time to legalize drugs. I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared US, Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Welcome back to the program. We are halfway through the opening round of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan. We have four debaters, two teams of two, fighting it out over this motion, legalize drugs. You have heard two of the opening statements, and now on to the third, debating in support of the motion, legalize drugs, the editor-in-chief of Reason.com and Reason TV. He's the author of the Declaration of Independence, TS, and described as one of the foremost libertarians in America. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Gillespie.
You've heard from a self-described soldier in the drug war. You've heard from a general, a commander, former Drug Enforcement Administration personnel in the drug war. You'll hear from a medic in the drug war. I present myself simply as a conscientious objector in the war on drugs. Let me explain a bit of why I think we should legalize drugs. I want to make two large points. It's not a war on drugs. It is a war on racial, ethnic, and age-based minorities, because it's kids who get wrapped up in the war on drugs. It's not old people. Any program that has such disparate impacts as the ones that Paul was talking about should come under scrutiny regardless of its intentions and its champions. As a 2005 cost-benefit analysis of the war on drugs by the super conservative American Enterprise Institute, which looked at the effectiveness, the conclusion by David Boyum and Peter Rother was American drug policy has little to show by way of success for that $2.5 trillion that John mentioned at the beginning of the program. Mark Perry, an economist at AEI, has pointed out that between 1970 and 2010, annual spending on drug control has gone up 10 times, while the addiction rate has remained flat. In other words, we have become the world's largest jailer nation without seriously getting better outcomes. The war on drugs is losing the battle for hearts and minds. A recent Rasmussen poll, 8% of people think we're winning the war on drugs. A century of failure has finally woken Americans up to the simple fact that prohibition exacerbates all of the social problems it is supposed to ameliorate. The RAND Corporation and other think tanks have found no consistent correlation between a nation's legal regime towards drugs and use rates. So in some countries you have lax drug laws and high use rates or low use rates. In places like America, we have stern drug laws and high use rates. So if you're concerned about the effects of drug use on society, you should reject the failed policies pursued by often well-meaning but seriously misinformed drug warriors, also known as the loyal opposition here. Now, drug legalization is not a scary prospect. It's not the radical change that its champions claim nor its opponents fear. And let me, as I'm winding down, how many of you have tried an illegal drug? Raise your hand. Anybody carrying? And if so, okay. I'll talk to
Nick,
you later.
Nick, for our radio audience, how many hands did you see up?
I think it was about 100%. Look, according to government statistics, fully 47% of Americans over the age of 12 have done so. So when we are talking about what drug legalization would look like, first off, it's all marijuana use. Vanishingly small people and percentage of people use drugs other than marijuana. But let me just say, there is not a single dimension across which pot is more dangerous than alcohol, which is pretty much all you need to know about a post-prohibition American society. It would be a lot like today, except that you would have one or two more choices in your medicine cabinet, and about 400,000 fewer people a year would go to jail. Police would be able to focus on actual criminals, and Monday mornings would be a lot easier to face. So please, think about legalizing drugs. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick Gillespie. And that's our motion, legalize drugs. And now our final debater speaking against this motion, Theodore Dalrymple. He is a retired doctor who practiced in an inner-city hospital and a prison. He is also a prolific writer, and he is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. Ladies and gentlemen, Theodore Dalrymple.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's alleged by the proposers of this motion that the harms that arise from illicit drug taking, production and distribution arise because of their illegality and not because of their nature, and that therefore if we could only just go down to our local corner store to pick up our crack or our phencyclidine or our methamphetamine or our heroin or our LSD, etc., the harms would be eliminated and very much reduced. Anyway, it is not so that the harms arise from illegality. In this country, about as many people now die annually from opioid poisoning as from homicide. Those fatal opioids are overwhelmingly prescription drugs obtained perfectly legally. About 15,000 a year die of these drugs. But the supply and demand of them arose suddenly in a matter of a handful of years, and it was all nice and above board. There are now said to be 2 million addicts to these drugs, and all, as I said, created perfectly legally. In Scotland as a whole, and in Dublin, more people are now dying of a perfectly legal drug, methadone, and this drug is used in the supposed treatment of heroin addiction. So the legal drug is now killing more than the illegal drug. So it's not true that the harms of drugs arise only from their illegality. We've seen that even if every homicide in this country, every single one, were the result of the illicit trade in drugs, deaths from legally obtained opioids would equal to deaths from that trade. It's also alleged by the proposers that criminality is caused, more or less, by the illegality of drugs. And again, this is not so. In the prison in which I worked, I discovered that the heroin addicts who were imprisoned there and had committed, they had committed between 50 and 200 offences before they ever took heroin. Therefore, it would be more true to say that they were addicts because they were criminal than that they were criminal because they were addicts. This has been found elsewhere, and research shows that criminality is a better predictor of addiction than is addiction of criminality. And criminal gangs are not going to file for bankruptcy if drugs are legalized. They're going to change their activities. So making the importation or production, distribution and sale of drugs would be dangerous, and it would not have the claimed benefits, because the illegality of drugs is the occasion and not the cause of crime. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to vote against the motion.
Thank you, Theodore Dalrymple. And that concludes round one of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate, where our motion is legalize drugs. We have two teams of two arguing out this motion, legalize drugs. The team arguing for the motion, Paul Butler and Nick Lespy, are arguing, we've heard them say that partly it's a freedom thing, that grown-ups have the right to put what they want in their own bodies. But beyond that, they say that the war on drugs costs in too many ways without a resulting drop in crime significantly, and that it disproportionately hits the African-American community in terms of people getting locked up behind bars simply for possession of drugs. The team arguing for the motion, Asa Hutchinson and Theodore Dalrymple, they're saying you cannot say that the war on drugs has failed, not when drug use among Americans has dropped 50% in 30 years. They also point to the fact that drugs and crime and addiction go together. Those are some of the arguments we've heard presented, and we're going to work through some of them in more detail now. And I want to go first to the team arguing against the motion to legalize drugs. Your opponents have made the claim that the war on drugs as constructed really is a war on young black kids, that it is that the number of kids who are put in jail is just disproportionately high and has had terrible consequences on the community. And I want to know, does your side concede or refute that basic claim? Asa Hutchinson.
Well, I think it's an issue that has to continually be looked at. I think there was a disparity in penalties that impacted our African-American community when it came to crack and powder cocaine. We made a huge step forward. Congress passed a remedy to that. I think there's been some challenges with the mandatory minimums. We've made some corrections in that as well. But methamphetamine, that's such a huge problem across all of the Midwest, that's predominantly a Caucasian drug. And that's where the law enforcement is enforcing its efforts right now. So I don't concede the point at all, but I think you look at the African-American communities, and we have a significant amount in Arkansas. We have high poverty rates, high unemployment rates right now. We have many social problems that are impacted by that community, and it's reflected also in what happens in the drug world.
All right, let's go to the other side. Paul Butler, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, it's just not true. Asa makes it sound like blacks use drugs more than anybody else, and as anyone who's been to college or high school knows, it's simply not true. We really shouldn't be talking about legalizing drugs. We should be talking about re-legalizing them. For most of our history, drugs have been perfectly legal. You could go into a drugstore in the 1800s and buy opium. Coca-Cola started out with a cocaine derivative in it. So what made them become legal? Illegal. Nothing to do with public safety. It was all about race. First drug criminalized, opium. San Francisco, 1890. The concern was that Chinamen were using it to seduce white women. Can trace it right down the line. Marijuana, Mexican field hands. It was making them lazy. With blacks, it was that coconized Negroes were running rampant in the South. So our war on drugs is about race through and through. It always has been, and it is right now.
If you can just get your mind together and then come on across to me, we'll hold. And then we'll watch the sun rise from the bottom of the sea. But first, are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. I know that you probably scream and cry. That your little world won't let you go. But who in your easy little world are trying to prove that you're made out of gold? It can't be sold. So, are you experienced? Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. Prove it to you.
experienced?
Or have you ever been experienced? See, not necessarily stoned, but just beautiful. Woo! Have you ever been experienced?
Now for something completely different.